I'm with Louise Robinson. And Louise, maybe you can start by stating what you do at Ragamala.
Well, I am currently managing director of Ragamala. I've been in that role about 3 years now. And so I have come in to help support Ronnie and Aparna and the organization to do a lot of the management functions, try to ease some of that load off of Ronnie and Aparna so they can focus more on the art of the work they do, although you never take it totally off their shoulders, but to ease it somewhat, and then to help on a couple specific endeavors to increase some larger donors from the community to identify some larger donors in the community to help connect with some of the larger dance presenters nationally, and a little work with some grant writing, though they handle that quite well internally already.
How did you first become involved then with Ragamala?
Well, I knew Ronnie prior to Ragamala. I've known Ronnie since the mid-80s, so somewhere between 30 and 35 years, I think. I was working at the Metropolitan Regional Arts Council, which at that point was still part of the Metropolitan Council. And I think it was, I don't know the exact time period for Ronnie, I think it was possibly after she'd already met Vali, but I'm not positive of that. She was clearly doing some teaching work locally in the Indian community, and some performing, I believe. But it clearly had kind of sparked her creativity. She was looking to kind of branch out and do a bit more, and so was looking for some funding as an artist to support her work and to push her farther. So she approached the Metro Regional Arts Council. And at that time, the MICA, Minnesota Independent Choreographers Alliance, was going. And so I was directing her there as well. And our paths crossed there later, too, because I later left MRAC to go to MICA, which was at that point becoming the Minnesota Dance Alliance, kind of changing its name. That's how I first met Ronnie.
So then what's your background in the arts?
Specifically in dance management. I've just danced all my life and danced in college and came up to the cities after graduating from St. Olaf. And it was just when MICA was getting going. MICA was started during my junior year of college, and I was close enough to hear, you know, get the notices, things were going out, people are gathering. So I wasn't in the first meeting of MICA, but I was in very early, in early meetings of MICA, these kind of historic Saturday afternoon, 4 to 6 meetings of the whoever wanted to show up and talk. And I became secretary early on of that organization, took the minutes, and later had other roles, but just decided that I didn't want a professional performing career, but dance was my love and something I wanted to work in. And so I got a general liberal arts degree and then just came up here and started getting experience. So I got involved there and then worked with a couple different dance companies, the Nancy Hauser Dance Company, something called Whispers of America Chamber Dance Ensemble, which was headed by Margie Farnioli, who has continued to be active in the community. Minnesota Jazz Dance Company with Zoe Seeley, and then I think from that I went to MRAC and eventually to the Minnesota Dance Alliance, where at first I was program director and later executive director.
So it's always been an involved. So moving to working with Ragamala is just another progression.
Yeah, it's a continuation. I kind of took time out from full-time employment to have a family, but I had at that point known Ronnie several years, actually. So we met at MRAC, but we reconnected when I had suggested she contact MICA, which she did, and was making some inroads there. She was among a handful of, at the time, kind of, what's the word I want to use? Specific, a choreographer from a specific genre that was kind of pushing the modern aesthetic of Micah. So there was Ronnie, there was Susanna De Palma, Cassandra Shore, Rita Mustafi, some others that were starting to knock on the door of what was, had started out of the modern dance community, and they were, and Micah was giving out these fellowships, McKnight fellowships, and of course other artists were interested as well. Even ballet was slightly outside the real core focus of the original organization, so they were all kind of pushing it, and Ronnie was really among the first, So she was there already working with Micah and making some inroads, actually. They had a new executive director, Bonnie Brooks, who was kind of taking all of this very seriously and going, yeah, we got to figure this out. And Ronnie was there and I think had probably maybe gotten a fellowship at that point in time. But then the program director position at Micah opened up and I applied for that and moved from MRAC over there and suddenly I was meeting up with Ronnie again. And over a few years' time, I moved from being program director into being executive director when a couple people, Bonnie moved on, John Munger moved on. And I was executive director, and we took on Studio 6A as a performing space down in Hennepin Center for the Arts. It was when, the ballet company, did they dissolve for a while or just they had to pull back quite a bit? And I remember in 6A was going to be, out for grabs, so to speak, and it was like the dance community couldn't lose that space. And Micah had, for years and years, been looking for a performing space. And 6A, for the community at the time, 6A seemed to suit what the community needed. So we got 6A and converted it to a 100-seat performing space and opened three presenting programs, extended play, short order, and bonus track in there in the around 1990. I don't remember exactly. But Ronnie was came and applied for the extended play performance series, I think in its second year, and it was her big collaboration with Robert Bly called Mirabai Versions. And she was programmed into that performing series, and that piece premiered with Robert Bly live reading his poetry, at least the opening night. I'm not sure if he did all nights, but opening night and live music. And after that performance, Ronnie was just, it was like this huge shot of adrenaline for her. I mean, this concept she had that she had pulled off and was beautiful and was well received, and she just, I think it was this little, some light went off in her head, like, wow, I did this, and this is good, and I want to do more of this. And that led directly to the formation of Ragamala. And the next performance was the premier performance of the company, which was Ragamala, Painting in Motion, I believe, something to that effect, at the Southern Theater. So we reconnected again there. And then about that time, or shortly thereafter, I actually was leaving the Dance Alliance, and she asked me initially to go on the board of Ragamala, which I felt I shouldn't do at the time, because of a potential conflict with my husband's work. But rather than that, she said, well, just be my consultant, be the consultant for the company. So actually, I was a consultant for the company from the very beginning. And along the way, a few different times, she said, well, be the manager. But it just wasn't ever the right time. But as our daughters were getting a little bit older, it was like, well, we're getting close. And so it was about three and a half years ago, I finally said, well, yeah, I think this will work. So I have a long track record, both with Ronnie and with the company, actually.
Right, yeah, and it's amazing. And I'm just curious here because, you know, there's, you mentioned earlier that Micah was struggling with the idea of accepting these traditional forms of dance. Now, were you involved in that opening it up? Because it sounds like there was struggling and they weren't quite sure how to wrap their head around it. But in the process, I'm wondering where you were in this process.
Yeah, well, I want to clarify, when it's struggling, I mean, they were always wanting to involve. There was never a sense of, we're a modern dance organization and that's what we want to be. Micah always felt of itself as very inclusive or wanting to be that, but how you make sense of that and how you do it intelligently and how you have people audition for fellowships, and you run into the classic thing as I guess a modern, or someone that knows modern dance, you know, people that feel they don't know dance at all are kind of like, I don't know how to assess this. Well, so then you think you know modern dance, and then you look at these other more ethnic forms, you feel like, well, now I don't know how to assess this. So that's what they were running into. How do we know what is good or not? And, you know, bottom line, you trust your instinct, you know, but that's a hard thing to get through. And so Bonnie Brooks actually took it to heart and started taking video samples and sending them to people nationally to get some feedback. So she took Ronnie's work and sent it to a woman by the name of Sukanya out east, who was a performer. Her mother had been a performer and, you know, at least knew, had a background and could give some critique. And she would change who the samples would go to, so you didn't just have one person always giving the critique, because people have different opinions. So that was one way they opened up. And my role in this, well, I was always active in Micah and the Dance Alliance from the beginning through going on staff. So I was involved in different leadership committees for the organization. It was a very democratic organization. So there was always what was called a steering committee that met with staff and would discuss these issues. So I was involved in that and involved in those discussions and helping those things along. But Ronnie was actually one who very subtly but determinedly, you know, kept knocking at the door. You know, she's not an aggressive person in a negative sense in any way, but she's persistent and she stays there and she goes, I'm still here. What, you know, I still think I should have access. You know, how do I fit in here? And that persistence worked for her, and I really think she helped open the door for others as well, who were also knocking, but her style of just being there and staying there, not necessarily ruffling feathers, just being there. So you have to take her seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then you had mentioned that, you know, you were aware when Rag Mala started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how have you seen Rag Mala itself change over the years?
Well, there have been tremendous changes. There's also been, you know, a lot of stability as well. But the biggest change and the most integral change is the work. And again, it is what it always was, but it's just so much more as well and so much stronger. And that, in my reflection, even I believe this more firmly now than even a couple years ago, is really the combination of Ronnie and Aparna and what they both bring to the work. And, you know, Ronnie is just this, you know, always searching and always kind of out in the world finding things that intrigue her and are different than her and her art, but get her juices flowing and want to work with it and want to explore with it. And though Aparna you know, has ultimately embraced that. I think at first Aparna wasn't quite sure what her mother was up to. and maybe even, I don't know for sure, but maybe even questioned it more, but went along with it, you know, and was, you know, curious enough and would see each step of the way be interesting and successful in its own right. But what I also think Aparna has done is keep Rani rooted in the classicism of the form in a very positive way. So that, I mean, I don't think the work would be what it is today without either of them. You know, Rani keeps pushing it forward and Aparna keeps it grounded, and it's a real push-pull. And I don't think it would be as strong without either of those forces at work. And so, you know, they spent probably, you know, half of the 20 years really exploring both where Rani wanted to go with it and how Aparna wanted to balance her. And then they've spent another 10 years kind of figuring, you know, really coalescing that. That's really rough, but, you know, I just say a good portion of the time really exploring, and now a good portion refining. And in the past 5 years, I'd say they've really been hitting their stride. I mean, they really know what they're trying to do and achieve with a work. And so when an idea comes up, they really kind of, you know, they know where they should start from and what the basic goal is. And it's amazing. It's amazing to watch them work.
Yeah. So when you say exploring, can you go a little further in when you say Rani wants to explore? So it's outside of the tradition?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's you know, she's fearless, and she is so well grounded in her knowledge and belief of her work in Bharatanatyam that she's not fearful or intimidated or anything in terms of going out and looking at someone else's work and going, hey, let's work together. What you do is cool. You know, what I do is cool too. You know, I think there's something we could do together here. She brings no hesitation to that embrace. And, you know, I think, you know, some artists and many people, you know, we're sometimes more protective of what we have, and if we're not totally confident and secure in what we're doing, then it's hard to embrace the other. But she just is so, so secure in what she does with her work that she seemingly can go anywhere and just say, hey, you know, let's see what our work does for each other. And that's pretty incredible, and I think pretty unique. And is to my mind a big part of what's so successful about the work. And watching her work, being in a studio watching her work with other artists that are good at that collaborative process is pretty amazing. And both of them, they both, and you know, true collaboration is much more seldom done than the word is used.
I agree.
So, you know, and they truly know how to collaborate and are good at it when they meet another artist that is truly a good collaborator. It's remarkable. It's an incredible experience to be in the studio and watch it happen.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, because yeah. I agree with you. I think sometimes a lot of what happens is, what, you know, you being a parent can understand this, is you see kids, it's parallel playing.
Right, yeah.
Rather
right.
than interacting.
Interacting, sure,
yeah.
sure.
And so the beauty of the creation, is what you're saying, happens when you see those two groups together
mm-hmm.
and something sparks.
Exactly.
And things happen.
Right, right. And they're really feeding back and forth off of each other and get into it and kind of get lost in it. And then they, you know, and then they get to the end of that phase and it's like, oh, yes, yes, this is good. Yeah, too often collaboration is used really when one artist is hiring the other to work with them and provide a certain aspect of the piece. But collaboration is often used even in that circumstance, and that's not really what it is. But they truly collaborate.
Yeah.
And look to do that and want to do that. Yeah.
How have you seen throughout this time period, since you have this, you know, you have great overview of things, how have you seen, you know, the audiences change over the years? They've obviously grown.
Interesting question. Yes, yeah. Grown and expanded and embraced the work and grown in their sophistication. Yeah, I'm no expert in audience and audience development and analysis or whatever, but just I would say... the company and Ronnie and Aparna, the whole company, has done such a good job of presenting a variety of work and presenting information about the work and doing many, many things in the community. I've often said, you know, it's a great organizational structure in many, many ways. You know, they do a lot of teaching in schools, a lot of other outreach, a lot of work in the dance community. I mean, they're not a one-trick pony. They do lots of things, which helps them in many ways, and it helps the audience in many ways, because you see them working in a variety of settings, and then the work they do presents you with the Bharatanatyam in a variety of settings and in a variety of ways and contexts. So over time, the audience gets educated, those that have kind of stuck with them over the years, and there are a lot that have. And then those that come to it new, you know, I think a sophisticated or non-sophisticated audience member responds intangibly when you're met with something that just truly has integrity at its core. And you may be able to articulate it or not, but you get it. And they really do have that integrity that reads. And so I think the audience has been brought along with them on the journey I described a few minutes ago of their exploration and then their coalescing, and those that have been around have seen that happen, and those that are new to it, you get it in a different way. I mean, because you see where it's come, you see the work that you're presented with, and it is amazing that being a company that still is based primarily in the classic form of Bharatanatyam, that they can attract the breadth of the audience they do to the work, it seems to me. I mean, I think it's great, and maybe I shouldn't even say that it's amazing. It should be assumed, but there's a part of me, maybe because I remember those days when, these forms were all considered very ethnic and very, you know, kind of segmented, and it doesn't feel that way at this point. And again, I think Ronnie, just as she was with the Dance Alliance, has been kind of a pioneer in just putting it out there and assuming, why wouldn't people come? You know, they should come. This is great. They should come. And gosh darn it, they come. You know? And so it's great. But, you know, the audience, you know, it has its Indian component and the non-Indian component. And earlier on, I remember Ronnie making comments that, well, you know, the Indian community tends to come primarily for the classic work and not the innovative work. I think that has softened some, you know. I think because the company has such a high profile, professional profile, and the Indian audience recognizes that and sees that and takes great pride in that, and so they do come for more of the innovative work as well, which is wonderful. And vice versa, they've kind of been cultivating a Western audience to see more of the classical work. You know, Aparna will be presenting her solo show this fall at the Coles, and they bring Bali back every so often. And Bali has been an interesting thread throughout all of this, coming back periodically and doing solo shows that always sell well, both to the Indian audience and non-Indian. And Vali, it's one of her favorite places to perform, as she has said now on a number of occasions, because she can, she knows the audience truly appreciates it and gets it. And so all of those disparate threads, I guess, talk a little bit about the audience here.
And Vali is Ronnie's teacher, mentor.
Right, Alam El Vali being her guru, really, essentially, that she met years ago when Vali was brought to the University of Minnesota. And Ronnie saw that performance and was just blown away by it. And for years and years, you know, ever since, so for decades, has made trips back to India annually to study, she and Aparna, and now Ashwini as well, to continue their studies. And so they really, their style of Bharatanatyam is Vali's style, and there are different styles, just like there are different styles of ballet or modern dance or whatever. It's a specific style that they pursue, and it is Alar Mel's, what she has developed over decades.
Well, maybe you can talk a little bit about, as you mentioned there also, the community involvement that Ragmala, what it does in the community.
Sure, yeah, Ragmala, both artistically and then as an administrator, when I look at an organization, I love to see companies that do many things. Both, again, it's the artistic component, it's a financial component, you know, you get income. They have always had many, many different streams of activity. You know, Ronnie really started, I think, being asked by the local Indian community to teach. You know, she had taken class as a child in India, and you know, was probably talking to someone about that, and they said, well, you should teach, you know, all of our kids that are here now. We need someone to teach them these forms. So that's, I believe, how she got started originally, and then did a little performing as well, little solo things. You know, I'm not quite sure I know the exact. You must have that from Ronnie herself. So she has a strong foothold historically in that community, and the company's always kept a connection there. But of course, that transcended very easily and quickly into doing work in the schools in the metro area and then throughout the state. And there were some state arts board programs that got Ronnie moving throughout the state. And so she did a lot of teaching in the schools. Once, and probably what is also referred to as outreach activities, which would be, in addition to schools, doing things like in nursing homes, or I know they've been to the St. Joseph School for Children many times, and just different settings, going in and providing these experiences that are artistic and movement, so they're physical and cultural, you know, these experiences for various populations. So they've always been active doing that, in addition to performing locally, and recently performing a lot statewide, again with some state arts board support, which is wonderful. And of course, then they moved into their national touring. About 12 years ago they started, and that was initially through different connections with Indian organizations across the country, but pretty soon they started doing other significant touring, and now it's, you know, their major national tour company with very high profile. And that's been the last few years really stepping into these more dance presenting institutions. But they've maintained all this other work as much as anyone in the community has been able to maintain it. Schools, of course, lost a lot of funding, so there's less school work. And unfortunately, outreach has been similar. There's less money for all of that, but the company still does as much as the economy can support, and looks for innovative ways to keep doing it as well, and looks for ways to continue to connect with the Indian community. She doesn't teach like through the temple regularly anymore, but the company has a school and a lot of people in the Indian community that want their children to learn these forms will come to the school. And we do do things occasionally at the temple, just to keep that connection going. And they do, they teach in Rochester weekly, believe it or not, make a trip down there. And that's primarily the Indian community there that has asked them to come down and teach a core group of students. So they do, you know, some companies are kind of one-trick ponies, and you perform and you either couple that with touring or you couple that with schoolwork. Ragamala has a lot going on, really, and has maintained all of that. So,
for the past 3 years, you're now have been involved.
Right.
And so,
on a daily basis.
Yes, yeah. On a daily basis. So I'm just curious with you, how has that changed how you view things? You know, suddenly you are thrown into the fire. How it's changed you.
How it's changed me?
Yeah, how it's changed you.
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. I don't think I was prepared for that one. I was focused on Ragamala.
Yeah, I know. But you are a part of Ragamala, and it does have an effect on you.
Oh, well, absolutely. Well, for me, it's, and this will change again with my own family going off, because I was always very upfront with Ronnie and Aparna. I said, yeah, it's time. I can imagine coming back, or coming back to my profession, so to speak, and with Ragamala and getting immersed in Ragamala. I said, but I'll be honest, my family's still my priority. This is part-time for me, and whenever I have to make a choice, you know, I'll be honest, my choices, you know, my priority will go there. So I have dove in, but not 100% yet. And I see that happening a little bit more with my daughters out from, you know, underneath a bit. But, you know, you start being able to get more immersed in the culture and the specific art form than I ever could before. And I made my first trip to India last fall with the company when they performed. They went to Chennai and Madurai and Bangalore, and it was fascinating to see the company and the work performed in that setting, and very successful, very well received, and they performed there for the first time only a few years ago, and I think it was a big risk that paid off really well for them, but scary nonetheless. But you know, it's a different performing climate. You know, the whole, it's much more informal, which is very cool. But it's a whole different thing. And so it was interesting for me to see that. And then, you know, always have that reference now when I come back and think of how it's presented here. You know, the whole technical aspect of it is a different story, you know. And people, you know, performances will be going on, and people might walk on stage to move the microphone or something. Yeah, it's very, you know, and yet
very
here,
Indian.
It's totally different, and so it's great for me to have exposure to that. And I don't tour nationally very often with them, but I've gone on a couple of the bigger things, and if finances allow, we'll travel a little bit maybe in the future. And again, that's good for me to see them in these settings where, you know, it's both wonderful but also challenging, and see what the nitty-gritty is. I mean, I've been in the field long enough to conceptually know, but to then go and see them doing the work is good. So, you know, it's certainly, as much as I've always loved Ronnie and Aparna and the company, it deepens my connection to the art, and hopefully will do even more so. And to the work overall, I think where it's taking me, what I'm thinking right now out loud as I go along, I guess I'd love to comment on the company structure as a working organism is pretty unique, and that's been great, unusual, interesting for me to factor into, to find my place in. it's really a working team, a working organism. So many of the dancers also have their administrative roles, which is therefore many of the dancers are employed and paid full-time year-round, which is not the norm in dance. And for me, what's unusual about that is, you know, they're very good at what they do, and you don't come in as a managing director as a one-person show or a one-person operation, which is what I'm more used to being in many cases, is in kind of handling everything. And so it's great. It's wonderful. It's also a challenge at times. You know, I have to learn to know that, okay, I don't have to do that because that's Ashwini's area to take care of or Tamara's area to take care of. And that's been kind of a learning curve for me. Great learning curve, wonderful, but still a learning curve. You know, you have to kind of know that, okay, my focus should be here. And for them, it's been, I think they've had to learn what my role is. And we knew part of what it was, and we, of course, didn't know part of what it was. I think we knew that I would be working some on trying to find some larger donors in the community and helping with this the national contact touring and getting the contacts with the dance venues nationally, as opposed to just filling in kind of this ethnic slot, which had been done for a while. But I think Ronnie and Aparna were also looking for someone. You know, they'd operated for so long out there on their own and had done so well, but they still didn't really know, but are we doing it right? Are we making the right, you know, you know, we're making all these decisions. And I think they wanted someone to come in and just be the third ear and third eye. And so I was brought into a lot of discussions and conversations that I don't think anyone really would have ever mapped out on a job description, but it was like they just needed another person there going, okay, is this, are we on the right track here? So there's been a lot of that as well. And so I've learned a lot, you know, learned a whole lot about the whole operation and like I say, on a daily basis. So, and look forward to being able to do it with a little bit more abandon too, with a little more time.
So it sounds like even your role is in, you talked about how everybody, like there are dancers who are actually part of the staff.
Absolutely.
And that your role isn't a normal role.
Right.
It sounds like a more organic process, mm-hmm, that's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody's working on things.
Well, everyone has their fields. I mean, Ashwini does a lot of the promotion and publicity, and Tamara does the grant writing and a lot of outreach. And Ronnie is kind of general, you know, research and development in many realms, and loves to investigate international connections, possibly. So she's always busy pursuing opportunities. And Aparna is more on the ground with a lot of, you know, of course, all Ronnie and Aparna have all the art on them, but Aparna, of course, is always negotiating with the artists that they're collaborating with and a whole variety of things. So, I mean, and I am purposely managing director and not executive director. That was a very conscious choice because it really is Ronnie and Aparna's show, and I'm there to support their vision, and I'm not there to lead the charge. And so that was a very purposeful decision and positioning. But I don't know if this is more or less unusual than other roles. I mean, I'm often accustomed to being a one-person show and different things I do. Whether that's normal or not, I don't know, in the arts. I think, you know, so I have a staff again, which is nice. And I did have that at the Dance Alliance. But there is an organic nature to this in how people, they're dancers, and then they know the business as well, which is pretty great and is a bit unusual and has everyone invested in it? Is this organism that, you know, as they tour, the whole organism, you know, goes on tour with lots of benefits and a few drawbacks, you know.
And I think it's you're always working.
You're always working, you know, thank goodness for laptops and internet access. You're always working, but they're doing what they love. And so you have other flexibilities, which makes it work for everyone. You know, we're not just a 9-to-5 or 8-to-5 thing. You know, it's if you have to go do something, you do it, and then you come back and you do your work. So it's great. I will say, you know, this structure evolved out of some challenge. There was a challenge about 12 years ago financially where things hit a difficult spot with a different managing director. The only other time they've had a managing director, and it had, I think she was new to the profession and didn't handle some things real well. And as she was departing, there was some debt to be addressed. And the dancers weren't doing all this other work at that point in time. And everyone said, okay, if we're going to make it, we're all going to have to get on board and do our role, and they learned well. And now I don't think there'd ever be a reason to change out of this model. It's worked really well.
So it arose out of a necessity.
Exactly, it did. It did. But, you know, intelligent people, and they and with passion and drive and determination, and they made the best of it and made it work to the extent that there's no reason to change.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think, you know, with everybody being involved in the company and then doing the business aspect gives you a different perspective mm-hmm. than someone who just is familiar with the business aspect.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and vice versa. You know, anytime you just do one aspect of things, you operate from what you know in that aspect of things. But they function knowing the whole picture. And so it's great. And so when they go out on tour or doing different activities, you know, they can speak as dancers. They can really speak as cultural representatives because they're that imbued with all the information. And they can speak as people that help administer the company. Yeah.
What do you see in the future for Wright Miller?
Well, as I say, they've really just, I think, been hitting their stride in the last 3 to 5 years. So, I mean, I think they've got artistically this gift that they will keep working on and keep pursuing, keep polishing, so to speak, and want to, you know, they've just in the last 2 years been getting into, I think, the national venues that they've been interested in, which have included Kennedy Center and now potentially Lincoln Center, but, you know, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and it's a group of people that are often referred to as the MUPs, the Major University Presenters, of which Northrop is our local mm-hmm. sense. And that's not all they want to do, but it represents the fact that these major national dance presenters embrace what Ragamala has achieved. And then from, you know, and that's just a platform and a place they have strived for many years. That's been kind of the goal. So now the goal is to continue to produce work that is worthy of that, but also worthy of all these other places they've always gone to, because we're doing even more work, I'd say, in Minnesota these days, touring too, with the help of some state arts board support, and that's great. And going to other, you know, there are places nationally that they've been going to every 3 years, really, that may be smaller presenters, but still embracing the work. And so I think it's getting to the place where the work is embraced by all these different constituencies and continuing that. And then more international work. Ronnie would love to do more international performing and residency and you know, India has been an obvious choice, and they've done sporadic. They've been in Edinburgh before, which is where they're leaving for tomorrow, and they've been to Japan, and they've been to Bali, Russia years ago, but they're really hoping to kind of make some other headway internationally. So I think it's continuing this, the work that they've kind of landed on. I mean, I think they've kind of hit their stride. And that, you know, then each project is its own goal, its own project. And then where you take it and who you share it with. So
is there anything, Louise, that we haven't touched upon that you want to add?
I had a few notes. No, I think we've covered the different things that, yeah, had been in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.